It's important to me to sponsor a child in poverty because it's really all about the children. They don't have any hope. And they need to know that there's a God that loves them and a Jesus that wants to have a relationship with them. So I know that when I sponsor, they get their physical needs met, food and education, and they also learn about Jesus. So I know that once their physical needs are met, then they can really focus on Jesus. And hopefully, my prayer is that it will transform their lives and they will give glory to God by being able to support their families. And also they can become everyday missionaries and impact their community and their country. The first time I met my children, my heart was just pounding out of my chest. And I know that really it was a gift from God to me. But I do want to say that I think more importantly than meeting my children was the relationship that I have through writing them letters. Being able to pour God's love for them out, being able to share Bible verses, and for them to report back to me how God is working in their lives. And for them to say in their letters, "Dear Tony," rather than "Dear Sponsor." I would like to share a couple photos of when I did meet my my kids, Margarita in Ecuador, and Zopar and Tonsing in Bangladesh. It was absolutely a wonderful experience. What I'd like to do is just kind of show you what my children, how they responded to me. So this is a letter that I received from Margarita after my visit, and I want you to notice it's a photo of her family, and she included me as Grandma Tony. So, yes, I cried. And the letter that I got from Zopar after I went to Bangladesh, she wrote, "When you came to see me, those days were the greatest days of my life." And she also wrote, "I do still remember that you hugged me. That was the best moment of my life, like a dream. It's an awesome opportunity to demonstrate God's love for a child. An awesome opportunity to demonstrate God's love for a child. So, go for it."
Good morning. Welcome to Academy Christian Church. I'm grateful that you joined us today and grateful to those of you joining us online. So glad Tony got to share her story with you. She's been part of our church family for a long time, and as you saw, I got to sponsor. She's here. So thank you, Tony. As you may have guessed, today's our Child Sponsorship Sunday. And every other year, as part of our missions philosophy, we take a Sunday to focus our attention as a church family on an issue that's honestly just difficult to face. And we want to do that together. It's the problem of childhood poverty. And if you're already uncomfortable, I just want you to know this will not be a Sarah McLachlan commercial, you know, with the music playing and trying to guilt trip you into giving. I won't sing the song, but you know what I mean. It's like the pet adoption commercials. That's not what this is, but we do want to keep it real. There are realities in this world that we don't often want to face, and as a church family, as a community of believers, we want to face that together and ask the question, what can we do about it together? And so I just, you know, this caveat, but I'm trying to walk the line of not being a used car salesman and just laying before our church family a real need that we can meet. And if you're a used car salesman, I don't mean you. I just mean, like, you know, the stereotype. It's like, I sell cars. You know what I mean. Like, the reason that we're doing this, a Child Sponsorship Sunday, where we actually focus on it as a whole church family, is the same reason that we're here. It's why we're here. It's why we pray. It's why we read this old book. It's why we teach. It's why we take this meal. Do you know what it is? The reason we're here. It's because each of us, at some point, have experienced God's love. We've experienced God's love. And not just a little bit, not just a tiny morsel, but extravagant love of God that says, I would do anything for you, and indeed I have done everything for you. God loves you. And even right now, he's pouring his love out on each of us personally, individually, by name. He loves you. He knows you. He sees you. He wants you. Isn't that crazy? Like, God is that transcendent. He can love you with his full being, and it doesn't in any way impact how he loves the person sitting next to you just as individually, just as much, just as often. God loves each of us in this room extravagantly. The love of a father. We are his treasure, and he's working everything out for our good. Like, we are people who are loved. Amen? God loves us. And so we come on a Sunday and we say, how do we receive more of that love, and how do we give it away? We could boil the Christian life down to those two things. How do we receive God's love, and how do we give it away? And I just want to lay that foundation, because that's what today's about. It's about responding to the extravagant love of a father in how we treat others. But it starts there. It's not to earn God's love. The motivation is not to leave a legacy. It's not even to change a life, primarily. It's to respond to God's love by giving it away. To say yes to God's love for us, and to say yes to it for others. And so that's really, as a community of people who have been extravagantly loved by God, we don't want scarcity to be our mindset. There's no scarcity with God. He gives us what we need. All that we need is found in him. And so we can bless others. And you're like, man, he's kind of getting off track. What about child sponsorship? Yes. The whole reason, though, the motivation is love. And so today, as people who have been loved much, the question for us is, can we be a church family that gives much love away? Can we model extravagant love for others? Because we've been extravagantly loved. And we already are. And we want to continue that today through child sponsorship. So here's the issue that as a leadership, we feel like we need to face together. Childhood poverty. There are over 350 million children in this world living in extreme poverty, which will impact their lifespan significantly. These are conservative estimates, too, that don't really take into account the effects of COVID, because we don't know yet, but over 10 million are held as slaves, children, in labor or sex trafficking. And today, in 24-hour time period, conservative estimate is 18,000 to 22,000 children will die from a lack of food, a lack of water or clean water, or an easily prevented illness. That's super heavy. You know, that makes a tear come to my eye. And you're like, I thought this wasn't going to be a Sarah McLaughlin. It's not. This is reality. And again, like I said, it's not easy to face. It's not on the front page news. Even though more kids die every single day than whatever catastrophe is happening somewhere in the world, from hunger and lack of water. That's just the reality of this broken world we live in. And those numbers are really hard to picture. And so for me, I usually, honestly, I just try to think about it more personally. There's somewhere in the world, there's a child digging through a trash pile to find a morsel of food for their day. There's a little girl locked inside a dark room wondering where her family is, who won't see them again. There's you know, a small boy in Africa who can't find water for the fifth day in a row. Like the numbers are too big to wrap our mind around. We just have to put it in personal terms. There's story. Each of them is a person, a story. And there's actually something we can do about it together, which is the great news, the beautiful news. There's something we can do, and that's why we're together here on this Sunday morning. We can't change all of those lives, all 300 and some million, but we can change some. And each one is a soul worth changing, worth loving. And so as a church leadership, we believe in what we're setting, the need we're setting before our church family today is there's 150 children who need a sponsor. And we're saying, as our body of believers, could we change the lives of 150 children forever and for the good? That's the ask. Brian, he often says this, I love this quote, just do for the one what you wish you could do for the many. And that'll change lives. And that's what we're here to do. Can we do for the one what we'd love to do for all of them? Okay, another quick caveat. Someone will come out to me after the service, and this is why I'm going to make fun of you first so you don't do it, and say, Logan, we already sponsored 12 kids, and, you know, we just lost our job, and we're going to try to sponsor, like, whoa, don't feel guilty. No, you don't need to feel guilty. If you do not sponsor a child today, that's okay. We're setting this need before our church family, and there's more than 150 of us here, and saying, Holy Spirit, do your work. We trust you to move in people's hearts, and whoever needs to give, wants to give, will do so. And so, if that's you, you're already like, oh, gosh, I feel so bad. Don't feel bad for doing what you, just do what you can. Don't feel bad for what you can't, okay? It's just a beautiful friendship, these sponsorships. And one of the really cool things about what we do, there's four partners out here, and we actually travel to each of those. We take trips as a church family, like mission trips, to go see those places and get to meet the kids, throw VBS, build building, whatever it is, like build bunk beds, those kind of things. And it's not the point of today, but it's a really cool side benefit when you get to actually meet them in person and go visit them where they live. But regardless, I mean, it's the relationship. Mike, he's a church member, and I wanted you to hear from him. He's someone who's deeply connected to Mozambique and Zimbabwe, and he's had the privilege of going over there, actually, multiple years in a row to see the kids that he sponsored. So I wanted you to hear from him.
My story is probably the first one I met was in Zimbabwe. It was the first child I met was a little boy named Tumi, 3 years old, very shy. Wouldn't talk to anybody, especially this white guy who comes to, an African nation. He didn't know who I was at first, and probably was a little scared just by the way I looked. After 2 weeks, my moment with Tumi was I was able to get him to blow on a harmonica and play a couple notes. And for me, that kind of, at that moment, broke the ice, and ever since, when I go back to Zimbabwe yearly and see all the children, Tumi and I kind of have a special place because we broke that, we have that initial bond. We broke the ice the first time, so he always gives me a little smile when I come back, and that's real special. It's definitely been an experience that's, you can tell, affects me deeply. But we're to the point where when I go back, the kids recognize me, and we truly love those kids. We act like they're part of our family, and we're trying to help them, navigate their way through their life in the bush, and talking to them about their hopes and dreams, and what we can do to help them take the next step. So for us, the bottom line is, for my family, is we've been very fortunate and blessed throughout the years. We're at a point where we can definitely give some of our resources to help those less fortunate. And I've personally been able to experience several years now, going over and seeing the orphanage, talking with the kids, helping them on, you know, as they develop and grow. It's the fact that we try to be consistent so they don't see us as kind of a one and done, come over and say hello and then they don't see us again. We go over and we try to keep that consistency with them so they know that we care about them. And our message is always one of, we're servants of the Lord. My message is, Jesus sent me to tell you that God loves you, and we're going to be here for the long run, and we're going to help you in your spiritual development, as well as provide you those things of food, shelter, a little bit of money to get educated, and help you try to achieve your goals, just like you do with any family.
So grateful to Mike for sharing that. I've been there in that picture, the little guy in the yellow hoodie. That was Toomey that he's talking about. And most of the orphans there are there because their parents died of AIDS. And the small amount that people give monthly now has allowed them to have hope. And when I was there, there was two of the seniors who were about to graduate, and they were talking about going to college and becoming a doctor. And it wouldn't have happened without people like Mike. And so just incredible that we get to do that and actually find restoration in this sponsorship. It's incredible. James 1:27 is kind of the biblical basis for this. It says this: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And I don't love this translation, because the word religion, that doesn't really get across what James is trying to say there. The word he uses is a Greek word, is thresqueia, and it means acts of worship that we do consistently. It's the acts of worship that we bring before a God. And so he's using it in the Christian context to say, this is the acts of worship that we bring before God and that he accepts as pure and faultless. And it's not burning incense, and it's not an animal sacrifice. Like, to this early Christian community that has Jews in it, he says it's none of that stuff. It's not going to the temple and offering up our It's caring for people who can't take care of themselves and keeping oneself spotless in this polluted and broken world. He says that's actually pure and beautiful worship before God, that it's an act of worship and love to our Creator and our Lover to offer back to Him, how we care for people who can't care for themselves. And that word to look after is episkeptomai, and it actually, in Greek, it means to, the sense is kind of like you knock on a door and you peek in. It's to look in on someone, to look in on somebody. And when you see the need, you don't just walk away. It's you step towards it. And so it came to mean to look after people, because it's, you checked in on them. You got down on their level and checked in. And James employs it here to encourage these early Christian communities to say, the people in our community whose relationships have been shattered, we need to take care of them. And it's not that we throw more resources at them. It's that we actually help them restore those relationships, help them find a place in your community to take care of them, to be a father to the fatherless, mother to the motherless, or to be a son or daughter to the widow or widower. And so to alleviate poverty, like what we're talking about today with childhood poverty, to alleviate it holistically is actually to bring reconciliation into relationships. It's not just to give money. And that's why, like what Tony was talking about, it's about a relationship. And so it's beautiful. We're sharing with these kids that they are someone who's worth loving. And they find again a restored sense of self, because someone looks at them and says, you're worth loving. They find a restored sense of community with others in this safe environment. they find a hope, and hopefully they find space where they can meet Jesus. I did just want to take a moment to acknowledge people in our church family who have done this, what James is talking about here, who have fostered children, who have adopted children, or who have adopted someone who's maybe elderly or single and makes them meals and just loves on them. There's so many people in our church family who are doing this. And James says, that is pure worship to God. So thank you. Thank you. And it's what we are after today. Now, one quick question before we get into just the details. I mean, today's pretty short because we want to give you some time to hang out in the lobby and go check out the booth. But one important question is, how do we help without hurting? How do we help without hurting as we look in on, we peek in, and try to offer help to others? There's a lot of big organizations with lots of money that do things with good intentions, and it doesn't turn out so good. The government comes to mind. And so it's great. We all have good intentions. We certainly are rich by pretty much the entire world standards. And I mean, these sponsorships are like $30 to $40 a month. It's like, that's our Starbucks or Chick-fil-A money for the month, or 3 gallons of gas. You know, it's like, it's not that much for us. We can, that's funny. Delayed laugh. It's really just like, we can do this and it changes their life forever. But how do we help without hurting? The first thing to remember is that poverty alleviation is about restoring relationships. Poverty is deeper than just a lack or inequity in resources. It's about relationships that have been broken. There's a void. And that's all through the Old Testament, when God invites the Israelites to care for people where there's a void in the relationship. So care for strangers, care for orphans, care for widows, because there's some void there. And poverty alleviation is us or someone stepping into that void so that relationships can be restored. It's the ministry of reconciliation that God has given us. We are ambassadors for. And that's what we're about. So remember that. It's about shalom, relationships being restored, this place where wholeness is found. Secondly, if we want to help without hurting, we attempt to not spread our poverty. We have poverty of our own. Our poverty is more about our God complex of, we control everything and we can handle it and we have money, so we think we're in control and of our own life and we can satisfy ourselves. You know, all of that. When Helping Hurts, it's a book about this. He has this quote that I love. He says, one of the biggest problems in many poverty alleviation efforts is that their design and implementation exacerbates the poverty of being of the economically rich, our God complexes. And it exacerbates the poverty of being of the economically poor, their feeling of inferiority and shame. And so when we're not coming in as the savior on the white horse, we're not coming in to colonize people, to be like Americans, to be consumer individualists. Like, that's not, just having money hasn't solved all of our problems. It's not going to solve anyone else's either. They need Jesus. And so we're taking Jesus, and we're saying we want them to be healed in a holistic sense. We want them to not be ashamed or inferior. And so we go with the love and the humility that we have much to learn from them and their culture. And then finally, we need to discern, and this is true regardless of whether we're talking about child sponsorship or any other mission organization that you give to, or even church. Discern whether relief, rehabilitation, or development is what you're giving to, is needed. What do the people there need? What do these kids need? And typically we do relief because that's easier. It's like there's a crisis, there's some event, and they need resources, and so we can just give money, and that's pretty simple. But at a certain point, you've got to get into rehabilitation and development. Like, how are those relationships being restored? Otherwise, you can pour all the money you want to, and it won't help. It won't help. And so relief-only ministries can be just kind of a shallow view of poverty. And it has to be balanced out with rehabilitation and development. Like, how are we pouring into these people so they can take responsibility and become a person with agency? So I love child sponsorships because they actually focus on rehabilitation and development and less about relief, although there's resources there if there is a crisis. But they focus on restoring those relationships. And so that'll really help us in any way, whenever we give, just to remember those things. It's about relationships being restored. It's not about giving them our idols to replace their own. And we really need to discern what they actually need before we come in with our ideas of what we want to give. Okay, so just a few details here. As we close, there's actually another video from one of our young friends. But when you go out in the lobby, there's four different places where you could sponsor a child. And if you think that you would want to go meet them someday, you may let that determine or help you discern where you might want to sponsor. We have some in Bangladesh, in Houses of Hope Africa, which is in Mozambique and Zimbabwe, Mission of Hope International, which is in Nairobi, Kenya. We're planning for a trip next June. Planning with COVID. Who knows? International travel, but hopefully we get to go. And then Ecuador, which is through Compassion. And there's 8 kids there at the sponsorship location that we helped start a church at as well. But there's actually more at their table that are in the areas nearby too. And so if we run out, there's actually more children there. And so I wanted to release you here in a bit just to go out there and discern. And if you have family, or if you're a teenager, like, or if you're a kid, like, grab your whole family and do this together. Like, choose together. If you want to sponsor a child, make it a family thing, man. Or a community thing, like with your life group. Or there's one, the ABF, that sponsors 15 different kids, and they just do it together as a Sunday school class. So super cool. And also, if you're online, we would love for you to sponsor these children as well. You can go to these websites, but we'd love for you to let us know so we can know how close we are getting to meeting the full need of 150 children, okay? Now, let's check out a final encouragement from Dakota. He just gives the challenge really well, so I wanted you to hear from him.
I think it's important to be a sponsor child because it gives you an experience that you wouldn't otherwise get in the United States. So it's kind of a bit different than sponsoring or hosting an exchange student from another country, because while they have different experiences and lifestyles as you, they're still existing within, let's say, the same economic class as you. And sponsoring a child really reaches out to somebody who's in a less fortunate circumstance than you, that allows you to get more perspective on the rest of the world. So the most impactful part for me of meeting the sponsored child was not exactly just meeting the child, because that was awesome, because, you know, he was smiling and he wanted to talk with us, and, you know, he was like, whoa, these guys are actually here. And it was really fun and really cool to meet him and the whole family. But just seeing the situation that he was in and seeing, like, his lifestyle and his living conditions, it's extremely humbling. Even if you can't make it down to another country, absolutely just go and do this, because there's still a humongous connection that you have with a sponsored child when you write them letters and they write you letters. And whether you're really fluent in the language that they speak or not doesn't matter, because the translator will actually translate the message over. So you can see their handwriting still. You see the translator's message, but you will be able to learn more about this child because you see how they write and how it improves over the years. And you can see they talk about their experiences and they talk about their friends. And they'll talk about how, oh, you know, we had this crazy thing happen last week, you know, and you can see them grow. And what you can do is you can form a real friendship with them.
It's those friendships on behalf of Jesus that change lives. And so I'd love to just ask you, would you consider changing one of those 150 lives that as a church family we want to bless with the love of our Father? Let's pray together. Jesus, we love you and we're grateful so much for how you've poured out your extravagant love on us. And God, there's just no scarcity with you. So help us to trust that. Help us to sacrifice. Help us to just pour out the blessings you've given us onto others. And Lord, I just pray that these 150 children would come to know you and know your love because of what happens today and how we step into that need. We love you, Jesus, and we pray all of this in your name and for your glory. Amen.